Say, Lord Jesus, I heard your word, but there's another level. Open my eyes, open my ears, open my spirit. I'm really listening, and I'm receiving, because it's today, and it's a new day to receive new understanding of your grace and word in Jesus' name. I was pressed to go to Isaiah chapter 11 in the Passion Translation. And even though we're going to start with verse 1, I'm doing my best to obey what he showed me today, that there is so much more available to by his truth, for he is the spirit of truth. Verse 1 says, the cut off stump of Jesse will sprout. Now, in the footnotes, it says, Nob was the city of priests, which the Talmud and Jerome's translation state within sight of Jerusalem. And Nob means higher place. Therefore, I add Nob Hill. You know, a lot of people use that expression, Nob Hill. Higher. So we put that back. The cutoff of Jesse will sprout, and a future branch will grow with his roots. The spirit of Yahweh will rest upon him, the spirit of extraordinary wisdom. Now there's a little footnote on that one, and that is the spirit of skillfulness. Exodus 31, 2 through 4. This gives equipping ability for music, art, business, writing, creativity, and wisdom for judicial decisions. Paul prayed for the churches to receive the spirit of wisdom. So I thought that was pretty cool. The next level is the spirit of perfect understanding. And that also has a little bit of a addition. The spirit of intelligent insight. This imparts the ability to discern the truth, to know the meaning of the riddles, and to decipher parables and allegories. This anointing was upon the prophet Daniel. See Daniel chapter 1, chapter 5, and chapter 9. That one really tickled me because of what happened yesterday. Crying out for a confirmation that I didn't miss the mark. And the confirmation coming in a very odd way for me and my emotional situations. So the Spirit is extraordinary wisdom, the spirit of perfect understanding, the spirit of wise strategy. Wise strategy. Now that also has a footnote. It is the spirit of guidance. This is the Hebrew word etah, and is used numerous times in the Old Testament for counsel, advice, or purpose. It is also used for steering, guiding a ship. This anointing imparts the wisdom of and counsel needed for spiritual leadership. See Exodus 18, verse 19. So that's kind of cool too. Because again, he is on the job. The spirit of power. is awesome. Then the spirit of revelation, or the spirit of knowledge. This is not knowledge that is learned from books or study, but knowledge that comes from experiencing intimacy with God. When you and I are in a relationship and the intimacy is consumed and flooded with love, you're going to mature because your guard is not going to be up. You're not going to be in fear. You're going to have a level of trust. And then the spirit of the fear of Yahweh. He will find his delight in living the spirit of the fear of the Lord. Now, that one is very different, and its meanings are a wee bit different. By judging with righteousness, Isaiah used this word. It's called Hebrew, and I don't know if I can pronounce it well, Zedek. 51 times. Can you imagine? 51 times he uses that word. So again, the fear of the Lord. He will neither judge by appearances nor make his decision based on rumors. Now, I could go incredibly well understood. With righteousness, he will uphold justice. Now, that's a difficult one, but I want to give you what the version of justice is. By judging with righteousness, Isaiah used this word. So again, so many times. And defend the lowly of the earth. His word will be like a scepter of power that conquers the world. And with his breath, he will slay the lawless one. Now that one is kind of cool. With his breath is, or with his spirit, he will slay the lawless one. The lawless one is seen in 2 Thessalonians 2:8. I'll let you dig that one up for yourselves. Righteousness will be his warrior sash and faithfulness his belt. Christ will subdue all things. Then the wolf will be subdued and live with the gentle lamb. And the leopard will lie down with the gentle lamb. And the young calf and the ferocious lion will be together. Now that takes logic right out of the picture. And as a shepherd drives his flock, a small child will guide them along. The cow and the bear will graze alongside each other. Cubs and calves will lie down together. The lion, like the ox, will eat straw. And the nursing child will play safely near the rattlesnake's den. And the toddler will stretch out his hand and shine light over the serpent. On all my holy mountain, O Zion, nothing evil or harmful will be found, for the earth will be filled with the intimate knowledge of the Lord Yahweh, just as water swells the sea. Now, when you read this and you digest it, I would like to add the concept that this was Adam's paradise. That's what Adam and Eve lived in. And they turned it down. They turned it down because of arrogance. And they were deceived. Actually, Eve was deceived. It says Adam was not. So taking that into consideration, Adam knew what he was doing. He made the decision. And I think personally, this is my opinion now. This is not God's word. This is my opinion. You see his response when the father took out of his side and created his bride. To me, he lost his discernment and he fell into servitude. How he did that, I don't know. But I have a sense that that's what happened. And instead of keeping his awareness when she offered that fruit to him, he was looking at her eyes and he was mesmerized. And all of his, let's say, logical knowledge of God went out the window. Because again, her deception and her choice of eating it, it's almost like what you're watching right now in our country. If you don't take the jab, you ain't got a job. It's deception. It's a literal lie from darkness. So, again, God is restoring. We've seen some of that already this week. A little bit is a good thing. Looking for more is wisdom. So now we're going to take you to the God who restores, verse 10. On that day, the root of Jesse will be lifted up as a miraculous or a miracle sign to rally the people. Gentiles will diligently seek him, and his resting place will be glorious. On that day, the Lord will extend his hand a second time to restore the remnant of his people from Assyria, Egypt, Pathros, Ethiopia, Iran, Iraq, Syria, the coastlands of the sea. He will lift up a banner among the nations that will gather the scattered Jews. Get a load of that one. That's 1948. That's not many years ago for me anyway. I was 8 years old. And assemble the outcasts of Israel from the four corners of the earth. Then Ephraim will be cleansed of envy, and those who are hostile to Judah will be cut off. So again, there's going to be a separation of the sheep nations and the goat nations, and God will not fail. Ephraim will no longer be jealous of Judah, and Judah will no longer be hostile towards Ephraim. But they will swoop down on the slopes of Philistia to the west. Together they will plunder the people of the east. They will rule over Edom and Moab, and animosity will obey them. The Lord Yahweh will dry up the gulf of the Egyptian sea. He will raise his hand over the Euphrates, and with the might of his hand, he will split it into seven streams that can be easily crossed in sandals. Then there will be a highway leading out of Assyria for his remnant people to return, just as there was for Israel when they were set free from Egypt. When I read this morning, it reminded me of Kim Clement, when him and his team went into Israel, and they were in Jerusalem, and they had this incredible reunion. It was an outdoor exterior place. I don't remember the name of the place right now. But I can remember watching it and feeling the anointing as I was watching it from my own room in my office. And I remember Holy Spirit saying, "Are you hearing?" And one of the songs they were singing is, "They will shout Yeshua. They will shout Yeshua. They will come from the Jordan and from Jordan itself, and they will shout Yeshua. They will come from the north, and they will shout Yeshua. They will come from Egypt, and they will come to Jerusalem, and they will shout." Now, You know, that was quite a few years he's been gone with the Lord already. But his word is still alive. That victory is coming right from this word. That victory was prophesied, what, 2,700, whatever the number is, years ago. Has God changed his mind? Or is there a war going on to try to capture the sheep nations before they ever develop into the next level? And I believe that's what's happening in our country. We're being tested. We're being pushed. And that pushing is forming some resistance. And the resistance is starting. I mean, I love the mother bears, I think they called them, in the Virginia area. The mother bear is to be watched and cared for because her cubs are in danger. Okay? And they had bears all over the streets and highways and billboards. And I said, yes! Sometimes mamas get upset because obviously they're kids. Those are my babies. And, okay. This week, one of my babies needed a ride. And so I went out and I picked up this beautiful little girl. She hopped in the car, and I could tell the minute she sat in my car that we had a job to do. And of course, she's in love. And she has this beautiful, brand new what do they call it? Akori. Okay? And it's got the name of the boyfriend and his football team number, okay? I mean, the letters are this big, okay? And obviously, she's very happy about, you know, hopping into the car. And, I mean, you can't escape it. I mean, you know, I know what it's like to be 14. So I shared with her. So before we left the parking lot, I said, you okay? Well, and it was a little bit of a challenge. So I said, okay, we're going to head out, and we'll do what we need to do. Holy Ghost setup, okay? I mean, totally Holy Ghost setup. We get to the railroad tracks on Route 181, and I see lights and a swirling behind me. So there's an ambulance. So we pull off the highway, so we make room for the ambulance, and I said, well, give me your hand, we need to pray. So she took my hand, and we began to pray and ask Jesus to bless the person that's in the ambulance and to make sure that the angels of God are ministering, and the ones that are going to receive her at the ER where her mother worked, you make sure all of that is covered. And we agreed, and I said, and in Jesus' name, and she said, amen. Good. I said, now, do you know why we have to pray for those in ambulances? She says, no. I said, well, I was in one of those twice this spring. Or early winter, late winter rather. And I said, I couldn't pray. My brain was disconnected. So I says, I'm driving around, getting off the highway, and taking time to pray. That's yours and my job. You're a Jesus girl, remember that. You are the anointed one to pray for those in trouble. Oh, okay, she says. So we got that solved. And off we went. We get to the driveway, and we're not getting out because now the anointing's still in the car. And we made some decisions because there had been some issues, and I won't go into detail. But God and his presence was all over that little girl. And she said, I don't want to cry. And I said, me either, but we're going to ask Jesus for help. She said, yeah. So God's grace, you know, I'm the great-grandfather. I'm not dad, I'm not grandfather, I'm great-grandfather. That means I'm a little higher up, I guess. But the bottom line is the privilege. You hear me? The privilege of praying with her, giving her a hug when I got out of the car, and just anointed her with oil, and she gave me back a hug, and I says, I just never want to let you go. I says, I like this young man, but I says, you know what? I'm jealous. And she laughed. She says, well, that's okay, Pep. I love you too. So that was my best birthday gift. And all I can say is, you know, that's not something that's common for most great-grandfathers. It is rare. And I know it's rare. But I give the glory to the Lord because His word right now, if it wasn't for His seven spirits in me, I would never be able to do what I did this week. And so my thrust to you is get jealous. You need all seven of these forces to help you on your path to the victory that He's prepared for you. And when you get to be my age, I pray that you'll do above and beyond what I've ever done. That's my prayer. And if the Lord decides to take me home, step on my grave, say thank you. He had a job that was done. He did his best. And keep on going higher. Don't stop wherever I leave. Hear me. Don't stop wherever I leave, because I will not have a problem on the other side. Because the one who guaranteed the path has already anointed me. And I know that I'm going to be fine. But you know, I used to be afraid of that crossover. But I'm not afraid of that anymore. That is not a factor that the enemy can use. Okay, the fear of death? Peh, are you kidding? I tasted it this close. And I crossed over when I was 11. So, you know, His spirit is coming alive as you and I are the body of Christ. We are the bride of Christ. Come on, declare it with me. We are the bride of Christ. We are in harmony with Jesus. We are in a marriage contract with Jesus. And He is imparting His spirit in fullness to all of us as we keep crying out. More will come in, because those angels are waiting to deliver. And we're receiving by faith, and we're not changing our minds. Hallelujah. I got the message. Hallelujah.